Men chase after men who chase after Christ.
Pastor Pete McKenzie of Influencers West Men's Ministry. Pete is talking about men today. Men on the street who may not know Jesus, and men in church too.
Men today feel emasculated. They feel like women are running everything, and they don't know what their roles are anymore in culture.
It's a message at the foundation of Influencers West Men's Ministry in Southern California. It's direct, difficult to ignore, and drills down to the core of men today. Here's Pete McKenzie.
Every campus ought to have a building on it that says this is the men's conference center. This is where guys hang out. This is where the men of God are made. This is where guys learn to be husbands and spiritual leaders in their homes. This is a place where men learn to be men of prayer and men of the word. This is a place where the leadership of the church is developed, where the financial base of the church is settled, where missions and impact in the world happens. And I believe that's true. You know, I've done a lot of things in the Christian world and Christian life. I've been in church all my life. I can't remember a time I wasn't in church. And during those days in church, I was I've been a Sunday school teacher starting out. I've been a deacon in the church. I've been elder in the church. I was a senior pastor for 8 years. I've been a church consultant. I've done marriage classes and taught marriage ministries. I served overseas as a missionary in Eastern Europe for 6 years. But I believe what we're doing today is the most strategic, the most important, the most timely ministry I've ever been a part of, and that's ministering to men. Of course, in a church, you know, ministering to men is the hardest ministry in the church. It's the hardest ministry because it's the only people group in the church that's ministered to that really doesn't want to be ministered to. Guys are hard to minister to. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We can't cover all those reasons today, but we'll maybe hit on a few of them. But Oswald Chambers, you may recall, he's the pastor that, actually, it's his sermons that made up my most or his highest, probably the most famous, popular devotional the world has ever had, the Christian world. And he's made lots of quotes, and I save lots of his quotes. But here's one that just struck me a few years ago that we use with our men all the time because I think it's so relevant, so appropriate for today. It says, when the crisis comes and courage is required, God expects his men to have such confidence in him that they'll be the reliable, dependable, safe ones. You know, I looked up that word crisis. Crisis means it's an unstable or crucial time or state of affairs. It's a situation, a period in which things are very uncertain, difficult, or painful, especially a time when action must be taken to avoid complete disaster or breakdown. You think we might be in a crisis today? Actually, this world has been in crisis ever since the Garden of Eden. Ever since Adam and Eve decided that they would run their own show and that they knew better than God, they wanted to be gods themselves. And they disobeyed God and sin entered the heart of man and man became sinner by nature. We've been in a crisis. And everything we're experiencing today is simply the culmination of all of that. Every problem we have, every breakup, every separation is just a sin issue. Every betrayal, every hurt, every wound has become and is coming from a sin issue. It's an issue of the gospel. It's an issue of the good news. And we're in a crisis today. As a matter of fact, over in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, now mark this, in the last days, difficult, perilous, threatening, savage times of great stress and trouble will come, which are hard to handle and hard to bear. Well, you know, these are the days that try men's souls. And I don't really know what God's doing, and I believe the footsteps are coming down the hall, and I'm not a prophet, but I believe we're closer to the coming of the second coming of Jesus Christ than we've ever been. And that's supposed to get a laugh. But what Paul is pointing out here is One commentator put it this way: here is a most terrible picture of what a godless world will be like, with the terrible qualities of godlessness set out in a ghastly series. Now, what he did after he said this, that terrible times will come, is he gave 17 characteristics of what men will be like in the last days. A couple of the, he starts out with men will be lovers of self and then lovers of money. The last two are they'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness but deny its power. I remember the day I read that and it hit me. Boy, he's talking about church people here. He's not just talking about the average guy on the street that cares nothing about church. He's talking about people that have this form of godliness but no power in their life. He goes on to say, in the last days there will be times that will menace the very existence of the Christian church and goodness itself. It will be a kind of last tremendous assault of evil before its final defeat. It will be a time of a terrible flowering of evil when the moral foundations will be shaken. There's to be a final showdown with the forces of evil. Well, you know, if that's true, and I believe it's true, and if you follow the definition of crisis, it's a time when something very important for the future happens or is decided. It's disaster and catastrophe, calamity, the turning point of better or worse in an acute situation, an emotionally significant event, a radical change of status in a person's life. We have crisis at every level in every direction. It's like we're surrounded. You can shoot in any direction and you're going to hit a crisis. It's a crisis in your home. It's a crisis in our governments. It's a crisis in our health. It's a crisis in our economy. It's a crisis in the relationships we have around the world. It's a crisis in the Middle East. It's a crisis in South America. There's a crisis in North Korea. There's a crisis. You name it, we have a crisis. But God has a plan for crisis. You know, the church has always thrived in a crumbling culture. We can stand around and shake our hands, or we can be like in the days of Noah, when Noah was preparing the ark and a flood was coming and he was trying to evangelize the people. For 100 years he preached. And when the flood finally came, only he and his family entered the ark. People didn't listen. People couldn't hear it. Jesus said, His second coming and the times when he'll wrap all this up would be like the days of Noah. People will be marrying and giving in marriage. They'll be going about their business as if nothing's happening. But God always reminds us. God always warns us of coming crisis, of coming catastrophe, if we hear it and if we listen. Now, you have to excuse me if I'm biased today, because I am biased. I'm biased toward the value and the potential of a man's life, of what a man can contribute and what he was born to do and created to do. Guys innately know what we were created to do, but we live in a culture today that's kind of turned everything upside down. Men really are confused. They did a survey of the man on the street. They came to three conclusions. Men today feel emasculated. They feel like women are running everything. And they don't know what their roles are anymore in culture. Men are confused. But in 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And if you go over to Esther chapter 4, Esther was going in to see the king. The Jews had been sentenced to death. And she went in to see the king and she says, if I perish, I perish. Mordecai had already told her, don't be afraid to go in to see him. But who knows that God didn't raise you up for such a time as this? If men are confused with their identity, they're also confused with who God is. What's he really like? How does he feel about me? There's 108 million men in America, 15 years and older. How are they doing? Who's looking after them? Who's nourishing them? You know, only 10% of churches today have a men's ministry. It's one reason I'm very encouraged with South Mountain, with the leadership that I see here and the interest that there is in having men's ministry. But quite honestly, my guess is, and I don't know what your statistics are, but my guess is that most of the men in this church are not involved in the men's ministry. If you're anything like every other church. In the 10% of churches that do have men's ministries, 80% of them are struggling. But think about it in light of this. This is a statistic that the Southern Baptists had. And the statistic was that if you lead a child to Christ, 3.5% of those families will follow that child in the faith. If you lead a mom to Christ, 17% will follow her in the faith. But if you lead a dad to Christ, 93% will follow him in the faith. Now, we're in a spiritual battle, and we're in a spiritual war, and we're trying to get men battle ready. We're trying to get men fit for battle. But that's a difficult thing for a lot of reasons. But you know, if you look at that statistic, and you're the enemy, and you're the devil, and you're wanting to make sure that those warriors that can make the most difference, that can have the biggest impact, that have the most influence, are taken out of the battle, what would you do? Well, you would make sure that those warriors don't see themselves as warriors. You would see that they have a real low self-esteem, especially spiritually. You'd make sure that they feel uncomfortable on spiritual turf.
More from Pastor Pete McKenzie in a minute. Influencers West Men's Ministry is Christ-centered, Bible-based, and grace-driven. Influencers is an international ministry. Here in California, influencers meet in Irvine, Fullerton, Long Beach, Pasadena, and Bakersfield. For more information, email info@influencerswest.org. Executive Director Bill Cobble will contact you personally.
Men are four times more likely to die from suicide than women.
Suicide and contemporary concerns such as unemployment, divorce, and men in prison are part of the message about men today. Back to Pete McKenzie of Influencers West Men's Ministry.
When it comes to the average guy in the average church, let me just give you just a profile of the average guy in my observations. He's casual relationally with Jesus and with others. He has misplaced priorities and rarely takes time to consider how to make them right. He's stressed out and hates it, but doesn't think he can do anything about it. He feels trapped, feels like he's running on empty. He doesn't take care of himself physically. He has struggles with shame and guilt and believing that God loves him, with receiving and giving grace and making and keeping commitments. He struggles with things like, I was wrong. I don't know. I'm hurting. I need help. And I love you. He has a father wound. There's a hole in his heart that he's been trying to fill his whole life. He's struggling with pornography, if he's not already addicted. He has an anger problem and basically doesn't even know why. He's challenged, if not struggling, in his marriage. He feels like he's plateaued spiritually. He's heard 1,000 sermons. He's been to numerous retreats, workshops, seminars, classes, and small groups. He's read the latest and greatest stimulating books about men. He knows that there's a lot more to God than he's gotten to yet. He believes that God loves other guys, but not him. And he feels uncomfortable on spiritual turf. He doesn't really particularly like going to church. He's afraid that if he really gets serious about God, he's going to send him to Africa as a missionary. And he struggles in his prayer life. He can't keep up with his wife spiritually. He allows her to take the spiritual lead in their relationship and in their home. And he doesn't have a best friend. He's got no one to call if there's an emergency at 2 o'clock in the morning. He can't name 6 guys that would carry his casket. He's generally not that interested in men's ministry if his church has one. He has a hard time trusting other guys. He feels competitive with and unsafe and threatened by guys. See, guys go through stages of their life. The first stage is, what is a man? What really is a man? How do you define a man these days? I spoke at a church with about 6,000 people and about 180 guys at their men's retreat, and the topic they asked me to speak on is, what is a man? He finds his identity in his job, what he does. It's the reason that men are so depressed and suicidal when they lose their job, because who are they now? And we try to help them understand that a man of God finds his identity in Jesus Christ. He's confused about what a real man is today and what a man of God is and what a spiritual leader in the home is and how you become one. But you know, when Jesus stepped into the world that he stepped into, it was in crisis as well. Chaos was going on. The zealots were running around the countryside trying to run out the Romans. There was a wicked, tyrannical king. Their politics was corrupted. The church and leaders in the church was corrupted. But they all took a look at Jesus and they thought, boy, you know, look at the crowd he's drawing. You know, we need him on our team. And so they said, come and join us and get the Romans out. And he says, nah, he says, that looks like a patriotic call, but I didn't come for patriotism. And they said, well, come and get in the politics, be in our party. He went, no, you guys act like politics is the answer, but it's really not. And then be our king. And he says, my kingdom's not of this world. Well, what is your plan then? He says, you see that tax gatherer over there at the table? And he said, yeah, it's Levi. We hate his guts. He's a traitor. He goes, well, he may be, but he's the plan. See those fishermen over there, those uneducated fishermen? You mean loudmouth Peter and sons of thunder, James and John? He goes, yeah, they're the plan. See, what Jesus did when he came into a crisis is he started the first ministry to men. He chose 12 ragtag guys that no one else would have possibly chosen. He spent 2.5 years training them, building into their lives, influencing them. And then at the end of his life, they still didn't get it. They watched him go through his agony. They watched him go to Gethsemane. They watched him go to the cross. And after he had died, they thought, well, the jig is up. That was a good run, but it's all over. No matter how many times he told them that I'm going to be killed and crucified, but I will rise again on the third day, they didn't believe him. But he did. Peter, the one who had said, Lord, I'll go to jail with you. I'll die for you. And he said, will you really, Peter? And you remember how Peter betrayed Jesus and denied him 3 times. Jesus met them on the beach after he'd resurrected. Peter noticed it was Jesus and he went running in there. And Jesus was there to reconcile Peter. That's who Jesus is. He's a reconciler of men to God. He's a God of grace. Most guys think he's a God of merit and performance and works. And we want to work for Christ, but that'll never get us more of his love. It'll never get us more of his acceptance or his approval. We can't be really good and get him to love us more, or be really bad and he's going to love us any less. This is a God who just loves us. It's grace and unconditional love. It's something that's so missing in most of us men's lives. As we work, and then just kind of give up trying to be good Christian guys. He called us to be followers and disciples of himself. He called us to be conformed to his own image by spending time in his presence. So Jesus chose those 12 guys, and all they did was go out and turn the world right side up. They were absolutely transformed and changed by this Jesus. And Peter preached that great sermon in Acts 4. And they were going, calling him a God because he had just healed a lame guy. And he says, I'm not a God. This man was healed by Jesus who you crucified. Pharisees stood there and they said, man, that guy, he's got authority. He's a fisherman, isn't he? Isn't that Peter, the fisherman? Where did he get such boldness and authority? And then they remembered he had been with Jesus. Well, like Ian Bounds was saying, church doesn't need better organization or more programs or more materials. The church needs more men who are totally committed and absolute abandoned to Jesus Christ. Who aren't afraid of him, but rush to him in their sins and confession. Who are learning how to be spiritual leaders in their homes and husbands to their wives and fathers to their children. Who prioritize their lives and in light of who he is and what they can do to get to know him and spend time with him. We encourage our guys to do 5 things that will help that. One is to make Jesus Lord of your life. Men understand saviorhood, but they don't necessarily understand lordship. Lordship means that when you say to Jesus, yes, Lord, what's the question? And when he wants you to do something, you aren't negotiating with him. but you're just saying, yes, Lord. We ask them, the number two thing is to make God's Word the final authority in your life. Men have a hard time with that. They especially have a hard time with number three. Link yourself together with a band of like-minded men. You'll never be the man of God. You'll never be the Christian man. You'll never be the husband or father or anything else in your life that you could be if you're not linked together with a bunch of men who are following Jesus Christ. Men chase after men who chase after Christ. We tell our guys, you catch on fire for Jesus Christ, they'll gather around just to watch you burn. The fourth thing is become a man of prayer. Get around guys who pray. Men know prayer is important. They're just uncomfortable with prayer. They're uncomfortable in God's presence because they still think that this is a God. They've got to work hard to make Him love them, and they're not measuring up. The final thing is to give it away. Get on God's heart, your heart, what's on God's heart. This is a strategic time in the history of the church, in the history of your family, in the history of the country that we live in the world. And if in fact you're the plan, I don't believe the plan has changed. I think the plan today is for God's men to be God's men when the time arises, and this is the time.
Pete spelled out the five pillars of Influencers West Men's Ministry. Number one, make Jesus Lord of your life. Two, God's Word, the Bible, is authority. Three, connect with like-minded men. Four, be a man of prayer. And five, give it away. Share the good message. For more of Pete McKenzie's videos and MP3s, go to influencerswest.org, follow on Facebook, or worship with men at Influencers West weekly meetings in Irvine, Long Beach, Fullerton, and Pasadena. Now, Pete closes in prayer.
Lord, give us men. Men with stout hearts and fire in their eyes. Men who fear nothing but you. And who owe nothing to anyone but acts of love. Lord, give us men. Men who are willing to live and die for you. Who name the name of Christ and live for His glory. Lord, give us men. Men who know your voice and whose greatest delight is to obey. Who are slow to anger, quick to listen, and eager to forgive. Lord, give us men. Men who love their wives and honor you in their homes. Who are living epistles of salt and light to all they know and meet. Men whose sacrifice and service and love are renowned. And who are known to have spent time in your presence. Lord, give us men, these kind of men, for the world is desperate for them. Lord, give us men, men of faith and action, who have eternity in their hearts, and only you as their focus and passion and reason for living. Men of whom the world is not worthy. Lord, these men are rare and few, but they know that you use ordinary men to do extraordinary things through your power. That you use foolish men to shame the wise, and weak men who because of you become strong, and men who are not to nullify the men who are. Men known more for their availability than their ability, and men who choose to decrease that you might increase. Lord, to me, this seems like an impossible request, but these are the kind of men that you make when they give their lives unreservedly to you. Lord, give us men. Thousands of men. Men who will give their lives in total abandonment and absolute trust to you. Lord, let me be a man like this, among men like this. Lord, let me be this man. Father, may this be true in our hearts. Lord, thank you that you're patient and gracious, and thank you that you're still using men to be blessings, to be providers and protectors, to be spiritual leaders. And Lord, help us to hang on your screen door, to band together with a group of like-minded men. Put it in our hearts to be men of the Word and men of prayer. And we'll give you all the credit and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, and nobody could want for
more. Influencers West Men's Ministry is brought to you by ministry-minded supporters and donations from listeners like you.